The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Page 94, The Private Eye Podcast.
Ho, 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 and welcome to the special post-festive edition of Page 94. My name's Andrew Hunter-Murray. I'm here in the Eye studio with Helen Lewis and Adam McQueen. We're all wearing hats, but we're not here to talk about the hats. We're here because we're having a special...
Please, can we talk about that?
Please stop sniggering, guys.
It's the way you've got a bauble to your ear. It's adorable.
Right, I'm taking the hat
Christmas
off.
Elf.
The hat's
it's
coming
so
off.
Sweet.
Right. Hello, welcome to Page 94. We are doing a special end-of-year Christmas slash New Year quiz. Very exciting. This is always very hotly contested. We've each written a round, and the other two are going to contest in each round. Can we just start with a sense check of our buzzers? If you hear this noise, that's Helen buzzing in. If you hear this one,
sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
Adam, and this one.
The clanging chimes of doom.
Is me. Thank you. Brilliant. I'll kick off with the round about UK politics this year.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Fingers on those buzzers. Or bells. Or horns.
Honker.
Okay.
Yep.
Liz Truss sent Keir Starmer a cease and desist letter in January. What was she asking Starmer to stop doing? A. Presiding over a culture of decline. B. Telling everyone what his father did for a living. C. Letting migrants come here from Calais. Or D. Saying she crashed the economy. Helen?
Saying she crashed the economy.
Yes, that's right. Easy one to kick off. Her letter was 6 pages long. And
needless.
It said Starmer had harmed her reputation and contributed to her losing her seat in the 2024 general election. She said it also wasn't a crash of the economy because it technically didn't involve a fall in GDP or a rise in unemployment. Very comforting for those of you listening with mortgages.
And if ever there was a case for an Arkle v. Prestram response, that was the one.
Look it up, kids. It may not even have gotten Arkle v. Prestram response. Anyway, there we go. We're off the blocks. Helen, 1 point. Next up, also in January this year, Mike Amesbury, Labour MP, admitted assault by beating after getting into a physical fight with a constituent in his Runcorn and Helmsby constituency. He's now no longer a Labour MP. But what had he and his constituent disagreed over? Was it local transport infrastructure? Was it GP appointment availability? Was it the rise in antisocial behaviour? Or was it bins? Adam.
It was a transport one, wasn't it?
Transport.
It was about buses.
Helen, do you want to weigh in?
I think it was... What's the second one again?
GP appointments.
I'm going to say GP appointments.
Adam wins it. It was transport infrastructure, but it wasn't buses. I'll just tell you quickly what it was. It was about the 99-year-old Sutton Weaver Swing Bridge.
I mean, which of us hasn't had a fight in the street about that?
It's about... this bridge is a terrific swing bridge, which connects the town of Frodsham with the village of Sutton Weaver next door.
It does.
It's due for substantial repair works, which have been causing 20-mile detours for some local residents. The works have begun, but obviously, because this is Britain, they haven't finished yet. Apparently, they'll be concluding in February. Great. 1 point to Adam. So you've both got honour now. So now let's just carry on. Right.
Even though we've got Christmas hats on, we have on.
Next up, the SNP's Mary Black, party's former deputy leader in Westminster, I think one of the youngest MPs in that whole time. She was an MP.
Yeah.
She left the party in July this year. What is her new media-based career move going to be? Will she be doing communications for the Calmac Ferry Company? Will she be on the next series of Strictly? Will she be starring in a legal drama set in Scotland? Or will she be the voice of the lifts in the Robert Burns Birthplace Museum in Ayr? Adam.
Lifts. It's got to be lifts.
Lifts?
I'm going to go CalMac because it's funny, but it's also a real government job.
Oh, I'm sorry you've both fallen into my trap.
Yeah?
She's going to be in a legal drama called Councils, set in Scotland.
Really?
Yeah, she's going to be playing, I think, maybe a police officer.
Blimey.
I know. Obviously, it's not the lifts at the Robert Burns Birthplace Museum in Ayr. The Robert Burns Birthplace Museum in Ayr is a cottage with no lifts. So, you should have known that one.
I've been there.
McQueen.
Oh, yeah. Adam.
It's not a tragedy. It's a terrific museum. Anyway, no scores there.
I went out canvassing. When I went to report on her canvassing when she won that seat in 2015. She'd just finished her final year at university. And she was up against Douglas Alexander, who was then Shadow Foreign Secretary. Complete dethroning of a Labour big beast.
Yeah.
Happy ending, though. She's in a legal drama. He's now back in government.
So everyone's got something out of this?
And neither of them the voice of any lifts. So still some career options out there.
Next up, Rail Minister Peter Hendy. Known to us all, I know.
Handy Hendy.
Received a fine.
That's one the lawyer's going to question.
Because he has a German word for mobile phone.
Okay.
Peter Hendy, Rail Minister, received a fine earlier this year. For what? Was it littering out of the window of a moving train? I'd remind you, he's a Rail Minister. Was he using his phone while driving a bus? Was it unwarranted use of the horn while driving? Or vandalism in the loo of a Virgin Pendolino? Helen?
I want to go littering.
Littering out of the window of a moving train?
No, because you can't open the windows on trains anymore, can you?
Well, the ones in the vestibule you can.
Because of woke. Go on.
I'm going to go for, what was the third one?
Unwarranted use of the horn.
Yes, yeah, between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Sorry. I'm straight to people what that sound like.
I'm afraid he used his phone while driving a vintage Routemaster bus through London.
That's one I didn't buy because I was like, why would he be driving a bus? But you've explained it.
It was for a charity called Railway Family. He's the rail minister.
So he drove a bus?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so his nickname could be Hans Free Hendy because that's what he should have done.
Very good.
Right, the lawyer.
Well, he can think of that new nickname as he considers it the 6 points on his licence he's got and a fine. Right, now, we've had some quite trivial political matters there. I know we haven't spent all year thinking about Peter Hendy. But
yourself.
Let's move to some big stuff now. Right. Robert Jenrick's little videos.
Yes. Yes.
Which of these subjects has Robert Jenrick not made one of his little videos about this year? Was it A, going to migrant camps in northern France to call the police? Was it B, going to a car boot sale looking for some stolen goods? Was it C, going in a Spitfire to complain that young people didn't know about the Battle of Britain? Or D, following fly tippers in a hired van.
I'm going Spitfire just because I feel like I would remember that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Spitfire as well, actually.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're both wrong.
What?
He went up in a Spitfire.
No way. Okay, that is objectively quite cool.
But a lot of under 40s don't even know it happened.
Well, I didn't even know that video happened.
Well,
so,
there we go.
But he's quite right.
Raising awareness. He's not doing terribly well, is he?
But he went up in a Spitfire to complain that young people didn't know about the Battle of Britain. So good for him.
They have a gunner seat then, presumably. It's a two-seater.
Sadly, not an ejector seat.
I'm trying to resummon back my memories of what happened in Biggles. That was the Sopwith Camel in the First World War. So
yes.
Technology obviously came on.
I'd just like to shut down any people writing in saying that the Spitfire doesn't have a separate gunner's seat, because I believe it doesn't.
Well, what was he sitting in then?
There are entire podcasts about this already. We don't need to get into this area.
Al Murray, drop us a line. Tell us what you think. What Jenrick didn't do this year was following fly tippers in a hired van. He did go up in a Spitfire. He did go to migrant camps in northern France to call the fuzz, and he did go to car boot sales looking for stolen goods.
And he did walk round talking about fly tipping, didn't he, in Handsworth? Yes, that's one of the most. And the van, he wasn't in a van.
How has he not been to that big field in Oxford that's full of fly tip? I could sort of see him surfing down it. Anyway, Robert, if you're listening.
Absolutely. Staying with the Conservative Party for the moment, which of these items was not available to buy or on display at this year's Tory conference? Was it A, a Margaret Thatcher Toby jug? Was it a Thatcher Christmas bauble reading ho, 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 no, no, no?
If you've invented that, then kudos to you, because that's they should get on that.
Was it an AI Thatcher which allowed her to speak on current policy matters? Or was it a Thatcher impersonator on the decks at one of the parties?
Adam. It's the Christmas bauble. You've made that one up.
Okay. Helen?
Okay, but just to be different, I'm going to go with the AI Thatcher.
Guys, this is a low-scoring quiz so far. You're both wrong.
No?
The thing that wasn't there was a Thatcher impersonator on the decks at one of the parties. Oh. To my knowledge, I did search and try and find out if that had happened. No, they had the Christmas baubles and they had the AI Thatcher.
Mm, I remember the AI Thatcher. You could post a letter to her, couldn't you? And she would come back to you from beyond the grave.
It's like a Ouija board. That's a bit tasteless.
It's a little bit. They also had some of her outfits on display.
Great outfits.
Showing that they're a party looking to the future. It's also 100 years this year since she was born.
Wow.
I know. Next question. This is now the fabric of Parliament bit. As part of its ongoing renovation, what did the Houses of Parliament spend nearly £10 million on this year? Was it a single door which traps disabled people inside it? Was it an entire building of windows which concentrate the sun on people? Was it a lift for some falcons? Or was it some paint which turns out to contain lead?
Adam. It's the door.
It's the door? It's the door. Adam's got it. Yeah, it's the door.
The door on the House of Lords entrance, isn't it?
It's absolutely that. And it has trapped people in wheelchairs inside it. And it needs a security officer to press a button to operate it. It's a bad door. But it's only cost £9.6 million, to be fair.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, again, it's one of those things where you feel like, I've got to, probably about 500 quid, I reckon, I could find someone to install the door that works.
But as expensive metaphors go, you know, the East Wing of the the White House is probably a bit of a better one, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just so you know, there was a project to rehouse the resident, I think it's Peregrine Falcons, but that cost a mere £80,000 to rehouse two of them, or £40,000 a falcon, you know.
It's bargain. Quite right too.
Yeah, bargain.
More appreciated than any other inhabitants.
To be fair, I imagine that they do sterling work in how many. Imagine what times you clean pigeon droppings off all that like fancy facade.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They earn their weight in whatever they get paid, those falcons. Scraps of bacon.
Next up, disruptors. Who does?
Oh, sorry, I thought you were just addressing this. Yeah.
Who does Zara Sultana say she and former potential co-leader of your party, Jeremy Corbyn, are like? Is it Princess Harry and William? Is it the Gallagher brothers? Is it the Mitfords? Or is it Cain and Abel? Helen?
It's the Gallagher brothers.
It's the Gallagher brothers!
I like it to be like the Mitfords, and they're just like, they've got one who's a fascist.
One's a fascist.
One who's just a lesbian, one likes horses. Great.
It's the Gallaghers. She said in October, I know that I'm in Manchester, so I have to reference Liam and Noel Gallagher. If they can do it, of course, me and Jeremy can. After this, she then organised a speech simultaneously with Jeremy's for the first night, and then boycotted the following day of the conference. So, harmony remains.
To be fair, it took them 20 years to need the money enough to get back together again, so maybe it will all work out okay for Zara and
Good point. Gizza. Very good point. A cheering point. Right, couple more. Which of these is the odd one out and why? I'm going to be strict on this. Lucy Powell, new Deputy Leader of Labour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nick Robinson. Laura Kunzberg. Donald Trump.
Lucy Powell's going to feel terrible that she needed glossing. You thought we wouldn't know who the Deputy Leader of Labour was.
I'm sorry, Donald Trump, President of the USA. Okay. There we go. Adam.
Donald Trump's American.
Correct. I can't give it you. I can't
sorry.
Give it you.
That was correct. I want to point.
Yeah, only one of them's president. I mean, this could get ridiculous. Is it about suing people?
It's not. Shall I tell you?
Is it about having a podcast?
It's about having a modern thing.
A TikTok account?
One of them has this, and the other three have merely been victims of a scam claiming they've got such a thing. I'm going to put you all out of your misery. It's cryptocurrencies. The first three, Powell, Robinson and Kunzberg, they have all been hacked on Twitter by hackers posting adverts for fictional meme coins.
Ah.
Powell's was the $HCC, the House of Commons coin. Nick Robinson had the $Today coin. Only President Donald Trump has actually launched his own cryptocurrency, the $Trump, and the value since launch is down by 85%.
What was the Kunzberg one? Kunzberg Krugerrand.
I didn't write down. It's the only one I didn't write down. Again, with your laser-like journalism skills, Adam, you found a weakness and you've zeroed in on it. Right. Final one. What did Kent County Council spend £11,000 on this year prompting complaints? Was it taking down patriotic flags? Was it a logo for its Doge department? Was it equality, diversity and inclusion training? Or was it imitation coal fires for its offices? Adam.
Was it taking the flags down so they could put Christmas decorations up?
It was taking down the flags!
Yeah. Yes, because then Warwick, the 12-year-old who's in charge of Warwick Council, said that he was going to take all the flags down and store them very, very carefully and put them back up in January as a result.
Lovely. Mm. Lovely. Yes, well, what an exciting round. That was it. Adam, I think you've won.
Mm. Oh! Ho, ho!
Very close round, 3-2. Mm. Close but low scoring. You know,
close but kind of rubbish.
Oh, I wouldn't get cocky. We're about to go into Adam's notoriously difficult round.
Absolutely right. Well, well done, everyone. I had a great time. I hope you did too.
I would just like to say it's not a difficult round if you've been bothering to read the Street of Shame pages in Private Eye all year, or rather for about the first 6 months of this year, because that's when I got bored going through them and thinking up questions. So.
Right.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, far away.
This Christmas sees Murdoch's children, James, Elizabeth and Prudence, firmly on Father Rupert's naughty list, and Lachlan, Grace and Chloe getting extra helpings of plum pudding. But how much did Dad shell out to each of his least favourite children to settle the succession battle over his business empire in September? Andy.
$1 billion.
I'm going to say $300 million.
Dollars or pounds?
Does it really matter when he's gone for a billion?
I mean, you're both right. Andy, do I give this to you as close as $1.1 billion?
Wow.
£810 million.
Thank you.
So wow. Someone's having a lovely Christmas dinner this year. So 1 point to Andy so far. Brilliant. How much cash did Tortoise Media hand over to The Guardian in order to take over the Observer newspaper this spring? Go on, Helen.
Was it £1?
It was not.
Well, actually, it was technically minus money because The Guardian ended up putting a big investment into them.
I think it's £5 million that they paid.
That who paid?
That The Guardian paid. Or it's either 5 or 25.
It was The Guardian paid. Right, both of you are going to get a point on that one because you both got different hearts. It was a trick question. It was actually The Guardian who paid Tortoise to take The Observer off their hands. They put £5 million of investment into them and said, that's your problem now, you've got to deal with it.
So it was both a great a bargaining by The Guardian, wasn't it? In that essentially the initial offer was £1 and then they ended up being...
We actually give you £5
million. Just desperate to do business with them.
2025 saw an unexpected change of astrologer. Unexpected? Did you see what I've done there? Nice. Unexpected change of astrologer at the Daily Mail, with Oscar Kainer replaced by his cousin Jemima, the daughter of original horoscope botherer Jonathan. What was Oscar's surprising parting revelation?
Hadn't he communicated with a ghost of someone quite important? Like Thatcher?
No, I think that you're thinking you've gone back to the Tory Party conference now. Thatcher.
Oh,
it's quite
remember...
a simple one. It's one all of us might be capable of making about horoscopes and astrology
and
in general.
It's all fraud. It's all made up.
Well, effectively, yes. He said, I don't think I can predict the future much better than anyone else. And neither did my uncle, who was, of course, the best paid journalist on Fleet Street for very many years.
Hang on a minute. Was he outed or did he resign of his own volition, going, I can't do it anymore, I don't care, they're all the same, there's no difference between Libra and Aquarius, it's all the same.
Ousted by his cousin, who just fancied a go.
Wow. I do remember that being an incredibly good story.
It was a fun one.
Yeah.
Okay, royal news. The Prince and Princess of Wales dispatched a letter to newspapers via their lawyers, Mishcon de Rea, at the beginning of the year, complaining about invasions of their family's privacy. What particular phrase, as featured in the Mail, Express, Hello and OK magazines, were they particularly concerned about?
Ooh.
Was it not? Surely it's not all grown up.
I'm afraid it is. This is the most tasteless Christmas question, I'm afraid. Yeah, all grown up. Specifically, they said the media presenting their 11, 9 and 6-year-old children in a more adult-like manner than is appropriate may lead to fascination and even potential objectification online.
Did one of the papers age them up to say this is what they're going to look like when they're grown-ups?
Mm. Yeah, they've done that as well. Yeah, a bit dodgy, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. So in conclusion, Name all three entities that have nearly bought the Telegraph this year.
Oh,
haven't. I'm going to let you, Andy, you're behind, so I'm going to let you go on that one.
Redbird.
Oh, you can all get Redbird, Andy.
No, not just Redbird. Come on, I need specifics.
Redbird IMI.
This year.
Redbird China edition.
Effectively,
Redbird Taylor's version.
Pyongyang.
Brilliant.
Kim Jong-un.
The Daily Mail Group.
Boko Haram.
Between you, you've got one.
I'm worried that Boko Haram's market share would be too large.
The Daily Mail Group are currently in the running to take him over at some point in the new year. Yeah. The Redbird, who tried to buy it from the original and current owners, Redbird IMI, were Redbird Capital.
Yep.
Can you remember the person who was in the front running at the beginning of the year?
Oh, Dove. Dove Foreman. No, that's the one
who
does the...
Devo.
No,
Dovey.
Dovey.
Just go
Dovid.
With all unlikely vowels in the name David and you will
Dovid.
Get there.
Dovid.
Dovid Ifoon. Yes.
Yes.
Owner of the New York Sun. So,
I think we should deserve a point for that because that was
both
heroic.
Both have a point. It's
Thank
Christmas.
You.
Whatever.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, well done, Andy.
Means you both equal on three in this round at the moment. So it's all very, very exciting. What is unusual about Daily Mail website hack Melody Fletcher? Ting, ting.
Doesn't exist.
Yep, that's exactly it. She is a pseudonym used by journalists who either don't want to put their real names to the stories they're obliged to write because they're afraid of the reaction from fans of people like Taylor Swift.
Fans of the Daily
they
Mail.
They just get monstered online, so they just put the name Melody Fletcher on it instead. Or they just put the name Melody Fletcher on it because they're just so embarrassed about what appalling crap.
I thought you were going to say she was going to be AI, but that's... Yeah, that's
no,
like
she's pre-AI. Oh. She's literally...
Like Alan, Hollywood film directors using Alan Smithy when they didn't want people to know
it. Yeah, exactly. It was the story over 11 in Stranger Things. Do you remember where she clapped back against the Mail and said she was being bullied? And after that, they just started putting Melody Fletcher on absolutely anything they wrote about her, but various other people as well.
Mm.
So there you go. The Telegraph, in a front-page exclusive revealing what it claimed was a free speech row in March, described comments reform supporter and peculiar plumber Charlie Mullins had made as criticising London's mayor in what might be termed a robust manner. What did Mullins actually say about Sadiq Khan? Yeah, go on.
He said something like someone should kill him.
He said exactly... Someone should kill him. Specifically, time to dump the Muslim mayor. Someone should kill him. That's free speech, Telegraph style.
It's fairly unambiguous, isn't it? It's not really the dog whistle there.
One more for Andy.
I just love my horn.
We're going to take that away from you at the end of the recording. You know, you
Fine.
Can't just keep it forever.
It's very dusty. I don't think people have been using it in the interim.
We haven't used it since last year's Christmas quiz. That's why it's been sitting on a shelf. Celebrating her first full decade as editor, The Guardian's Kath Viner boasted this spring that when she had taken over, The Guardian was making big losses and the business model was not sustainable. In 2015, that year, The Guardian's losses stood at 17.6 million. What did they stand at in 2025?
Oh, numbers.
17.7 million for comic effect. Can we just say...
I'll say 20 million.
Higher, higher, higher.
100 million.
Lower.
50
lower,
million.
Lower. 24.3 million.
That's interesting.
Although The Guardian does prefer to term them as adjusted cash outflow for the operating business, which is a rather wonderful euphemism, I think.
Smash.
And it was down from 37 million the year before, we should say, just to be fair.
And it went through profitability for a while, didn't it?
Yeah, and then straight out the other side.
They were like, oh, we don't like this. It's not right. It's not The Guardian way.
Right. I think Andy was closest on that, so I'm going to give Andy a point on that one. And in your final question... The Daily Express was way out ahead in 2024 as the most successfully complained about newspaper, with 7 breaches of the editor's code and ipso obliged corrections made. This year, and I'm not going to ask you to give a number, but do you think that was higher or lower in total?
Got to be higher.
I'll be supporting and say lower.
I'm going to need a honk.
I'm going to
need a ding.
Lower.
You're wrong, Andy. They were all higher. There was higher. 12 complaints upheld so far. And amazingly, every single one of them was from the same complainant, who is a man called Alan Williams Key, who seems to have made his full-time
Nemesis.
Job just to complain about inaccurate coverage in the Daily Express.
Wow, does he have a specialist subject, do we know? Is it
He's particularly keen on economics and criticisms of Rachel Reeves.
Ooh.
He's not, as far as I know, related to Rachel Reeves.
I was going to say, is he Rachel
like
Reeves' only fan? That's exciting.
Wow.
And on that round, we have a total of 4 for Helen and 5 for Andy.
Yes!
Just a wipeout for me, over and over again.
Right. Did you lose the last one as well?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry, Helen.
And I, but by default, lost this one because
I know
I'm
you're competitive. I know you're competitive, and this
fine,
is
I
must
actually
be really sticking in the craw.
I've actually tried this year. I've really learned to be humble.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the 12 Trumps of Christmas.
Amazing.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic.
Which of the following did Donald Trump not do on his first day in office? Now, this will be multiple choice. A, ban TikTok. B, change the name of Denali back to Mount McKinley. C, declare there are only two sexes. Or D, withdraw from the WHO.
Ooh.
Adam.
Is it the banning TikTok? Because they did preemptively cancelled themselves, didn't they? And said they weren't going to be
okay
in America.
I'll say the mountain thing, which he probably did do at some point, but didn't do it on day one.
He did do it on day one. It is, in fact, banning TikTok, as you observed. Instead, he seems to plan to flog it off to some of his mates and still have the algorithm run by China. As Elon Musk's time in Doge drew to a close, he appeared at a White House event with a black eye. It is generally agreed that he was decked by Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, who hates him. But who did Elon try and blame the injury on?
His wee lad.
Can you give me the name of his wee lad?
XI source code /...
absolutely final, this one new document, yeah. X, yes. This is like one of us trying to file a piece of the subs on the Monday morning. Yeah. No, absolutely use this one. Yes, I was just horsing around with little X and I said, go ahead, punch me in the face. And he did, Mr. Musk explained.
If only he would extend this invitation to more people, I feel the world would be a better place.
Okay. In May, after the death of Pope Francis, who did Trump suggest could be the next pope, tweeting an AI-generated image of them in full papal regalia?
Himself.
It was, of course, himself, yes.
He's not going to nominate anyone else,
no,
is he?
It was not. Which political disruptor explained his nickname like this? I use it as my LinkedIn username. People on LinkedIn take themselves super seriously, and they're pretty averse to risk. And I was like, well, I want to be neither of those things. So I just set it, and honestly, I didn't think anybody would notice.
Is it the guy from Doge who's called Big Balls?
It is the guy from Doge.
Hey!
Big Balls, Edward Korestein.
Big Balls, wow.
I'm afraid Big Balls has now left Doge. Oh. Much like the Ravens leaving the Tower of London. Big Balls has departed, yes.
Right.
Well done. Yeah, doing very well, both of you.
Well, I think we're connected on LinkedIn, he and I, so.
I wonder if it was in the middle of his name or if that was just his first name and surname. Anyway, we can investigate this later. In July, which political candidate was accused by a rival of slapping fannies and killing grannies?
I mean, surely that's Trump, isn't it?
It wasn't. Not in this case, no. And this was, I would say, the American fanny, meaning bottom.
Oh, so I'm thinking of grabbing pussies, aren't I? Not yes. Slapping fannies. Yeah. Sorry.
I'll say RFK.
Again, a good guess, but no, it was Andrew Cuomo, candidate for New York mayor, who had earlier resigned as governor of New York over sexual harassment allegations and his COVID policies around care homes. The phrase comes from his Republican
rival. Can I just have a
rival.
Moment, because you bring up RFK in that contest, has just brought back the poem, and it's just, I can't
you
think
are
of anything
my,
else. Just
you
for,
are my
for
valley.
A second.
I am your...
Look, let's press on. People are full of Christmas food. They want to hear this much.
Oh, yes, they'll bring it up.
The phrase comes from his Republican rival, Curtis Sliwa.
It's a very good political phrase.
It's and delivered in a proper New York accent as well, like a proper, like, I'm walking here, slapping fannies, killing grannies. It was great.
I'm still stuck on wondering whether Big Balls is related to Ed Balls.
Well, Ed Balls always used to tell a joke about his name, which was like, don't feel sorry for me, feel sorry for my sister Ophelia.
Lovely, lovely.
I want to know if it's Big Balls or one word, like you said, or whether it's like Meat Loaf, who liked to be referred to by
Mr. Loaf.
Interviewed him, I was wondering, as Mr. Loaf.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm afraid, I was told that just as I was entering the room to interview him, that he likes to be called Mr. Loaf. So I entered the room going... Didn't go well after that. Yeah, we didn't get on.
You know there's a Meat Loaf tribute act called Pete Loaf?
That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
In October, Donald Trump posted a video of himself flying over the No Kings protesters, wearing a crown and dropping what on them? I'm going to give it to you, although sound travels... Yeah.
It's G, I've got the advantage. I think it was... CGI poo?
Well, it was...
Your Honour?
The papers insisted that it was ambiguous, didn't they? They said, a brown liquid.
Yes, the New York
Times... And then
sort
of second mention, they said resembling feces, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. The New York Times in its classic way was like, well, we can't be absolutely sure it's human poo, but that was definitely the implication, yeah.
It's not just something that can be said of any other president, is it? World leader, really. It's not... Just dumping poo on your own people is not a...
No.
We might do it, but you wouldn't necessarily publicise it.
You think you could imagine Keir Starmer actually dumping poo on people, just not tweeting about it? What an allegation to make at Christmas. Which of the following did Secretary of Defence, or rather Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, not attack in a rambling speech to which he summoned all American military personnel in September? Mm. Was it A, fat troops, B, fat generals and admirals, C, beardos, or D, people who claim exemptions from military service on spurious health grounds?
It's old Mr. Bonespurs, isn't it? It's the last one.
It was. I did a bit of their of topical satire related to the fact that Donald Trump got out of the draft for the Vietnam War by saying he had bone spurs in his feet.
Topical question. Satire about the Vietnam War. Yeah. That's what they come here for.
Question, please.
Yes.
What is a beardo?
It's a person with a beard.
Oh, okay.
But in like a sort of hippie-ish way.
Right. Okay.
And there's a slightly sinister overtone to it because most of the people who have medical exemptions from shaving are black guys who have a particular condition where your follicles get irritated by shaving, which is much more common, people with darker skin. And so, and also, yeah, the people with religious exemptions too. So so there is a slightly unfortunate undertone to the war on beardos.
Wow.
I would just like to point out that today I'm not only a beardo, but I am wearing my LGBTQIAXmas hat. So... I'm with the Woke Brigade this Christmas.
Merry Wokemas.
Yeah.
Wasn't there? I'm sure there was a GB news section that was called Merry Wokemas.
Almost certainly.
And they're basically Christmas.
It's been cancelled and you'll have to call it Winterval.
I'll just say Happy Halls. Yeah.
Who was revealed to have written these words this year? Once upon a time, an intelligent, sharp-witted man they call Mysterious parachuted into my life. You would spend many hours just waiting for him to turn up. And often no sooner were you used to having him around, you would suddenly be alone again, leaving you with some interesting friends to entertain instead. The gentle jingle that says, you know.
The gentle jingle that says, I'm just so relieved that you didn't quote what he wrote to her. It's Olivia Nutsey, isn't it?
It is not.
Is
no,
it, not?
It is not.
About RFK. Oh, right. Okay. Blimey.
Ooh. I'll say British GB News hack Beverly Turner talking about Donald Trump.
It is not. It is, of
course...
Is
it Donald Trump talking about GB News hack Beverly Turner?
Is it a Ghislaine Maxwell?
It's in that getting warmer.
Oh.
Warmer.
Oh, is it Peter Mandelson about Epstein, isn't it?
It is Peter Mandelson about Epstein. I'm not going to give you that point because you had five wrong answers before that and you've made your own bed there.
Sort of in an ascending scale of revoltingness.
What did he say? A mysterious
man? A man called Mysterious, and then you'd be left with some interesting friends to entertain instead. Again, not a thing you want to later be discovered to have written in the birthday book of a paedophile. Up there with Let's Play Again Soon from Andrew. One, here you go. It's happening now. In November, US journalist Ryan Lizer accused his ex-fiancée, Olivia Nuzzi, also a journalist, of having an affair with former presidential candidate Mark Sanford. Back in 2009, when Sanford ducked out of his campaign to visit his mistress in South America, which incredible euphemism did he deploy? Okay, ready for this? Is it A, boating in the Ozarks? 2, B, hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
C, playing hacky sack in Maine. Or D, attending a hoedown in Harrisburg.
I'll say it's the hiking in the Appalachians because you enjoyed the others far too much.
I'm going to say a hoedown in Harrisburg.
I've been to Harrisburg. It would be a lovely place to have a hoedown, but no, it was, of course, hiking the Appalachian Trail. It's very much their version of Ugandan discussions. Okay, who am I talking about here? He is a former world leader who once dressed up as Aladdin at a private school where he taught. You only want to hear the other half of the couple. You've already preemptively belled.
I know who the couple is.
Go on.
Is it Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry?
It is.
Yay! But who's she?
She went into space-ish this year. Now
she went on a plane.
Yeah. I did this with my husband as a dry run, and I have to say, he was kind of like interested in the other ones, and then this one he leapt on like a salmon. He was like, I think you'll find that's Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry. So well done for being equally lowbrow, Andy.
Thank you.
Which great American novel provided the theme for both a party at the wedding of Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez and Donald Trump's Halloween party at Mar-a-Lago? Andy.
I think the Bezos wedding featured a strong Great Gatsby theme about sort of oblivious rich people.
You're right. Two people decided.
You haven't read the Great Gatsby. When I say you haven't read the Great Gatsby.
Well, funny you should say that, because the Trump bash ABC reported was themed A Little Party Never Killed Nobody, referencing a song from the 2013 film adaptation of the F. Scott Fitzgerald novel.
It did. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Yes.
It's also a novel that is heavily about eugenics, right? It's about racism, and the background is that book, The Passing of the White Race, or The Passing of the Great Race. So again, more on the nose than
perhaps. And also, this was a Halloween party.
Spooky Gatsby. sexy Gatsby. Yeah.
Is that the Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire film?
It is, yes.
It's a shocker.
It's too long. I've always looked at it. I'm going, I don't need 2.5 hours. The book's only about 128.
You can read the book at that time.
Yeah. And then you wouldn't get the boats borne ceaselessly back, you know, all that sort of stuff. Mm. Anyway, recently, the American conservative movement has been torn apart by the decision of J.D. Vance's friend, Tucker Carlson, formerly of Fox News, to platform the anti-Semite and Groiper leader, Nick Fuentes. Which of the following did they not discuss on a recent podcast with Carlson? A, whether Iran was a bigger intelligence threat to America than OnlyFans. B, the concept of hoflation. C, whether it's appropriate to wear pyjamas on airplanes. Or D, whether wives should be subordinate to their husbands.
That was so plausible.
I know, right?
Except that Helen has actually listened to the whole of this podcast and is going to make us suffer through a question about it as well.
Appropriate attire on planes was something that the transport secretary recently said in a speech. So I think that's the one that didn't make it into this
Tucker
pod.
Tucker Carlson will have a particular interest in that because he is savaged by demons in his sleep, isn't he? So a good sturdy pair of pyjamas and possibly a sleep suit.
Oh, you want some Kevlar, some Kevlar ultramarines. Yeah.
He was. A man who sleeps apparently with four dogs in his bed was nonetheless savaged by demons. That was the most plausible explanation.
Lazy dogs not protecting him from those demons. That's outrageous.
Yes. I like to think they're all tiny dogs. Four tiny
dogs.
Yes, you're right. Whether or not it's appropriate to wear pyjamas on airplanes was Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. Although there is famously a picture of noted sex poetry enthusiast RFK Jr. on a plane in bare feet.
Oh!
Which I don't agree with at all.
Well, do you mean, when you say bear, is that one of the bears that he's killed and strapped to his car and eaten?
Dead bare feet.
Yeah.
I was trying to work out why the scores there didn't add up to 12, but it's because there were a couple where I'm afraid neither of you scored any points. However, would you like to know what the scores are?
Yeah.
It's 5 to Adam, 5 to Andy.
Oh!
Meaning that you're both winners. Like the Trump's view of the 2024 election, there's one real winner and one person who thinks that they've won.
We are all winners.
Yeah.
And in a way, the winners are the friends we made along the way.
Okay, I'd like my supporters to march on the private eye office now, please.
That's been edited really unfairly, I'd just like to say. He actually said 50 minutes in between that we cut out.
Well,
brilliant.
There you go. Okay, and what we have established is that you're both winners and I'm the loser. So, in a way, the real spirit of Christmas.
I feel we knew that, Helen.
Happy Christmas.
Oh, and happy Christmas to all of you. Thank you so much for watching and listening all this year. We've had a lovely time, and we'll do it again next year, probably. We definitely will.
Yay! So, here's to 2026.
Yes. What exciting, fresh horrors await us in 2026.
Oh, God.
Yes.
We'll do our best to help you through it.
Exactly. That's all from us, and thanks as always to Matt Hill of Rethink Audio. Bye for now.